yeah.
Okay, we're learning the laws of cooking on Shabbos. The next subject we're discussing is, where does Bishul apply? What can you cook? Where does that apply? So, cooking doesn't apply to everything. It only applies to things that are impacted by the heat, by the cooking. You have things that aren't impacted at all. Or they don't get better by putting them on the fire. For example, you have, let's say you take a pomegranate. So cooking a pomegranate isn't going to make it any better, right? There are fruits that don't improve by cooking them. You cook a grape. It doesn't taste better because you cooked it. So there's no biblical prohibition. We're going to see that sometimes it's prohibited rabbinically, but that's not called cooking. When you take something that the effect of the heat and the water is going to be damaging to that food, that's not called cooking. Yes?
Can you do the opposite and take grapes and put them in the freezer so the next day you would have frozen grapes?
You could.
Yes?
So what about water? You'd say water is consumable. You can drink water without cooking it. Nonetheless, we are taught that there's a biblical prohibition for cooking water. And that's because there's a very big distinction between cold water and cooked water. So that's considered that you improved the water. That's called you made it better. So that's, we said, bishul, cooking involves something that's affected positively. Usually, you actually change the object. With regards to water, we view hot water as opposed to cold water as two different things, and that's called noticeable improvement. Yes?
Does the water in the banana or the pomegranate make a difference?
I don't think so. Okay, our next subject is bishul achar bishul. If you have something that was already cooked, so what would be an example of that? Let's say you have cold cholent. Okay, it's fully cooked. You have cold soup. It's fully cooked. If you would re-cook it, so then we don't consider it a biblical prohibition to re-cook it. If you have something that was not fully cooked, you have a steak that's not fully cooked, you have a hot dog that's not fully cooked, you have a cholent that's not fully cooked, even if it's already a third or a halfway cooked, there's still biblical prohibition of cooking it. That's why we said, if you take a pot off the fire and it's not fully cooked, you can't put it back on the fire on Shabbos. So, we're going to discuss this at greater length, because it depends if it was baked or cooked, etc. But the general assumption is that once something was fully cooked, by cooking it again, you will not transgress a biblical prohibition. There might be rabbinical criterion how to deal with it, so you shouldn't enter rabbinical prohibitions. But biblically, we assume there is no cooking a second time. Is everyone here Ashkenazi? Or no, you're Sephardi, right? So I just spoke in Ashkenazi language. For Sephardim, we're still going to have to discuss. We're going to have to discuss a distinction between something dry and something wet. Meaning, if you have, let's say, rice that's cooked, so then reheating it does not involve recooking it. What about soup? So that's a discussion in halacha, whether davar lach, something liquid, do we also say in bishul achar bishul, that reheating it does not constitute bishul. So that we will still discuss. Yes?
In the case of a steak, and it's, let's say, rare.
Rare means not well done.
Not well done.
Okay.
And then you put it on, and then it's well done.
Right.
Like, it's people eat steak rare, but you can cook it more.
We'll see. I think we saw it already. Whatever the average person considers that it's cooked, that's done, doesn't have to be well done. You'll say well done is better than cooked. That's fine. That's called mitztamek v'yafelo, that it improves as it dries out. So that's okay. An example, the classical example of that is potato kugel or cholent, that it could be ready to eat. But everyone knows that if you leave it on the fire on a slow cooker for another 2-3 hours, it's going to be much better. As it dries out, it gets more delicious. So that's called mitztamek v'yafelo. As it dries, it improves. That's not called cooking. Yeah. Or baking. Right, but we're saying even if it impacts the food, that wouldn't constitute cooking. And sometimes, right, that's what we would call reheating. that reheating dry food is not a biblical prohibition of cooking. We'll see if there have been a criterion. Reheating wet food, we'll still discuss. Okay, so if we have something dry that's been fully cooked, we have rice that's been fully cooked, we have baked potatoes. So even though it's cold, we said by reheating it, there's no biblical transgression. We consider as though it's in its final state already. What we have to know is that that is provided that you are using the same type of heat. Let's say you have bread that was baked. Now you're going to put that bread in your pot. Some people say that it adds flavor to the chulent. So now you want to put it in your liquid chulent. Now you're cooking it. So yesh bishula harafia. After you've baked, you can still cook it. That's still biblical prohibition of cooking. Where do we run into this? Sometimes we have things that we want to put into the soup. It could be knedlach. It could be soup nuts. So if my soup is cooking and I've baked it, another area where you might run into it is with roasted coffee. The coffee was roasted, meaning it was baked on a dry heat. If you were to put that into liquid that can cook, if you were to put it into water on the fire, so then there's bishul acharafia. You, just because it was baked, just because it was roasted on dry heat, doesn't mean that by putting it into wet heat, into a cooking scenario, that doesn't constitute cooking. So you do have bishul acharafia, cooking after baking. We say after it's been baked, there's no such thing as baking it twice. After it's been cooked, there's no such thing as cooking it twice. But there is bishul acharafia. There is tzliach har bishul. Let's say you cooked your meat, and now you want that roasted flavor, so you're going to put it on the platter directly. So then that dry heat, that's like roasting it. Say it was cooked before in water. You can't put it on dry heat directly on the flame or on the platter. That's again, there is bishul achar fiya, tzliach achar bishul. Okay, so where would we run into that? We would run into that when you want to reheat food on the plata. So let's say you have cooked potatoes and now you've taken them out of their liquid because you don't want to reheat the liquid. You would not be able to put them in a pan directly on the plata, because then you're cooking it after it was baked or roasting it after it was baked. Let's say you made a roast and now you want to reheat it on Shabbos. You can't put it directly on the plata again, because if you've taken it out of the liquid, so you want to accomplish, we said with regards to liquid, we have a problem reheating liquid on Shabbos. But now if it's going to be dry heat, you can run into a question of afia or tzliach har bishul. So that's areas where we would run into it. Where else would we run into it? So we said with regards to coffee, we have bishul achar afia. The coffee was roasted, baked on dry heat, and now you're cooking it. Tea leaves are dried in dry heat. They're not cooked, they're baked. So with tea leaves you would have that. Those are the examples I could think of now. You can make coffee, but in a manner that you don't cook it. You would have to use kli shlishi, as we'll discuss. You have to use heat that won't cook it, a third vessel. You pour it from the vessel that's on the fire into a cup, and from then to a second cup. That's considered the third vessel. The one on the fire is kli rishon, and the cup is kli sheni, and from that cup to another cup is kli shlishi. Okay.